nations for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, May 2nd, 2018, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast, coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of StarWorldwideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is As We Prepare for the Winds of Change of the 70th Year. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne this day. Lord God, we bow down spiritually speaking. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you've yet to do. We ask that you would send the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit to speak the words that you have prepared here and ordained for this hour in this day to be heard by those who will be hearing it, Lord God. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. Lord Jesus, we thank you for going to the cross. I thank you personally, Lord Jesus, for taking my place upon the cross of Calvary, that I may have eternal life as I know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for myself, as I continue to walk hand in hand with you through the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit. As Lord Jesus, that each and every day, daily, I ask for forgiveness, for you are faithful and true to do that which you have prepared and ordained, and I thank you for that. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. Today, as we prepare to set the stage for the soon coming winds of change of the 70th year, concerning what is going on in the Middle East, let us begin by laying the groundwork for a very special show that will be coming to you next week, of which will simply be titled Winds of Change of the 70th Year. My friends, centering around the soon coming 70th anniversary of the Jews being regathered to the promised land, of which the one and only true and living God, creator of heaven, earth, all mankind, as well as the people and land of Israel, had in the beginning promised and given to their forefathers. With that said, let us begin with this piece written by Mr. Jeffrey Greider, writer and editor for NowTheEndBegins.com, dated February 23, 2018, titled, Confirmed, Donald Trump Will Officially Relocate the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem on May 14, 2018, of which Mr. Greider begins by stating that the Trump administration will officially relocate the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. My friends, I think I said, and it should have said in Israel, he will be relocating the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. In May of this year, timed with Israel's 70th Independence Day, a State Department official confirmed to the Jerusalem Post on Friday, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place." Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. At this point, Mr. Greider continues by sharing, "For quite some time now, we here at Now the End Begins have been telling you that if any major fulfillment of prophecy related to the rapture of the church and the consequent start of the time of Jacob's trouble was going to happen, it would be right around the period of time of the 70th anniversary of the regathering of Israel on May 14th, 2018. He continues by saying, "So it is with a happy surprise and not just a little shock that our position received another nice validation today with this stunning news coming out of Israel, and here it is. The Trump administration will officially relocate the U.S. Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in May. Timed with Israel's 70th Independence Day, a State Department official confirmed to the Jerusalem Post on Friday." Mr. Greider's piece, my friend, goes on to say that the official was responding to a message on Twitter by Transport Minister Israel Katz, who seemed to confirm the move would occur in the spring. Quote, "We're planning to open the new U.S. embassy in Israel in Jerusalem in May," the U.S. official told the Post. Quote, "The embassy operating, the embassy opening will consist, or will coincide, my friends, with Israel's 70th anniversary." It was further stated in this piece that the embassy will initially be located in Amona on a compound that currently houses the consular operations of the Consulate General Jerusalem. He continued by saying, "At least initially, it will consist of the ambassador and a small team." An excited Mr. Greider then adds, "How's that for the start of your day, all you prophecy watchers out there?" Just before going on to say, "Honestly, I don't get much, honestly," he says, "it doesn't get much better than this." And you know, that is true, my friends. It really doesn't get much better than a piece of prophecy being fulfilled within your lifetime that the Lord has spoken to you about and now is coming to pass. He then states, "Moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem is not in the Bible or in Bible prophecy, but the events that this move could trigger certainly are." He says, "I believe with all my heart that the time period surrounding May 14th of this year, 70 years of Israel regathered, will be perhaps the greatest period of prophecy fulfillment in my lifetime." Mr. Greider then goes on to point out the reason as to why he feels the way that he does about this particular period of time when he says, "Here are some of the reasons why I believe that what I believe is coming. After 70 years, the Lord will again visit Israel, according to the prophet Jeremiah." The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 30 and verse 7 makes a reference to something he calls the time of Jacob's trouble, which is the same thing Jesus mentions in Matthew chapter 24, where he talks about the coming time of the great tribulation. "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Mr. Grider continues by saying, but just one chapter before that, Jeremiah mentions something that immediately preceded that, a visitation from the Lord after 70 years. Historically, he says, this is talking about the Jews in Babylonian captivity, but is also a prophecy of the Jews in the time of Jacob's trouble in the end times. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, or the city of confusion, my friends, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. Jeremiah chapter 29:10. The writer, Mr. Grider, then states, it is interesting to note that in the book of Revelation, Jesus says that in the time of Jacob's trouble, Israel will be like Sodom and Egypt. He says, remember the Boston Globe article calling Tel Aviv the gayest city on earth? He says, just before going on to say, my friends, they have turned so far away from the Lord that this is how God now views them. Mr. Grider then cites scripture to paint a picture of his just shared statement concerning Israel being likened to Sodom and Egypt during the soon coming time of the slaying of the two witnesses as spoken of in the Bible. When he shares, quote, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is Jerusalem, my friends, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. His point is further realized when he as well states, Revelation also, the book of Revelation, my friends, also directs our attention to spiritual Babylon that has now trapped the Jews like the physical Babylon did in Jeremiah's day. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Revelation chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. So, says Mr. Grider, I ask you, those of you who are biblical believers and understand that there is much prophecy yet to be fulfilled, is it possible that sometime around the 70th anniversary of the regathering of the nation of Israel, could the Lord be planning to once again visit Israel and his chosen people, the Jews? To that, my friends, my answer, as well as yours, should be a resounding yes. For that just shared by Mr. Grider is a very true statement, because the one and only true and living God of heaven is a God of patterns and order. And what he has promised, he will do. Mr. Grider, once again, speaking of the time of Jacob's, or in other words, Israel's trouble, then asks the question, if so, then wouldn't that of necessity place the rapture of the church before that visit? He then rightly states, yes, it would. The church has no place in the time of Jacob's trouble. It is Israel's final refinement according to the Bible, he says, of which, my friends, is once again a very true statement. The only thing we do not know is the exact year, month, week, day, nor hour in that day. But we can surely see, as the word of the Lord God, my friends, states, that we will know and are now in that time. The season is ripe for such an event to take place at a time in the very near future that only the Lord God himself can will. Mr. Grider at this point adds, this scripture concerning the reason for, the soon coming time of Jacob's trouble, or in other words, Israel's trouble, of which is, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquity. Amos chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Mr. Grider moves to close his piece with a thought-provoking summation, my friends, concerning just what might now be only days away for all on planet Earth, not to mention those residing within the land of Israel. When he shares his closing thoughts concerning the rapture and the time of Jacob's, or in other words, Israel's trouble, which can also be translated as the time of great tribulation, of which is that the 70th anniversary of the regathered Israel, there is in 3 months, he says, because this was written in February. And I say, is now, at this reading, only 12 days away, my friends. As Mr. Grider continues, he shares and says, there are only three possibilities for what is mentioned in this article. He says, it is possible that, number one, some of what is listed in the Word of God could happen concerning this time. Number two, none of it could happen. Or, he says, number three, all of it could happen. He then ends by asking, are you ready for what comes next? And on that note, let us ponder, my friends, the things that have tried to be thus far shared as we take in this excellent new song recently added to the Streams in the Desert Live music lineup, of which keeps the sweet name of the Lord and only Savior of all mankind, Jesus Christ, in the forefront of our hearts and thoughts as we continue to prepare for the winds of change of the 70th year.
The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Sorrow may come in the darkest night, but the cross has the final word. There's nothing stronger.
The cross has the final word. The
the Savior has come with the morning light. And right now, the Lord is prompting me to pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I command that every principality and power of the air and darkness be bound this very hour in the name of Jesus. Satan, get thee behind me, for you have no power and authority over this broadcast or anything that is to be said and done. I know that you are raging throughout the earth with your demons and evil angels waiting in the wings to do that which you have been prepared and ordained to do soon. But for now, I plead the blood of Jesus against you. I command in the name of Jesus Christ that every principality and power of the air and darkness be bound this very hour. And I call it done in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. This just proves that there is evil beyond measure coming soon and very soon. And darkness prevails and will continue to grow darker and darker until the glorious and victorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ appears in the eastern sky to receive those who are ready, watching, waiting, and praying for his imminent return in the rapture and for the hand of God to come down to take care of the things that Israel has need of, that they can be brought forward into the time of peace with their King and with their Messiah. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray, amen. And amen. Okay, my friends, now let us continue to look into just why this show is being presented here today. In preparation for the soon coming 70th anniversary of Israel being regathered once again as a nation at the first on May 14th, 1948, of which could have only been and indeed was performed by the hand of the one and only true and living God, creator of heaven, earth, all mankind, as well as the people and land of Israel. For no other nation upon the face of this earth that has fallen into ruin has ever been revived to its former glory, except for the nation of Israel. My friends, it is the prophetic timepiece of the God of Israel. And the time on that timepiece is in a mere 12 days from now, will once again, for the 70th year, miraculously reflect the fulfilling of God's word found on the very pages of the Old and New Testament of what is commonly known as the Bible. With that thought in mind, let us now examine just why the days dead ahead are projected to be some of the most physically, mentally, and spiritually speaking, as we've seen here today, dangerous days that the tiny regathered nation of Israel will have faced in modern times. As we look into a piece written by Benjamin Kirstein, dated April 22nd, 2018, titled Former Head of IDF Intelligence, this will be Israel's most dangerous May since 1967, of which the writer begins by stating the former chief of the Israeli Defense Force Intelligence believes the upcoming month of May could be the most dangerous Israel has faced since before the 1967 Six-Day War. When I look at the month of May, I say there wasn't a month of May so dangerous since 1967, said Amos Yadlin in an interview with Israeli Daily. In May 1967, the security situation in the Middle East began to deteriorate as Egypt expelled UN peacekeepers from Sinai, and three Arab nations mobilized their forces along Israel's borders. Israel eventually launched a preemptive strike in early June and decisively defeated Egypt, Jordan, and Syria. In the last Independence Day ceremony, I was reminded of the Independence Ceremony of 67, Yadlin said. The Jerusalem prayed, everyone was satisfied, but they did not pay attention to the beginning of developments that snowballed into the Six-Day War. Yadlin also warned against Israeli complacency and overconfidence. He pointed to Israel's failure to predict the 1973 Yom Kippur War, in which Egypt and Syria caught Israel unaware on its holiest day and inflicted heavy casualties on the Jewish state before being defeated by the IDF. When the heads of state talk about Israel as a superpower, it also, he says, reminds me of the noise from 73, Yadlin stated. So let's be more modest, more careful, and understand where we're going. Yadlin pointed to recent escalations between Israel and Iran and Syria. In February, an Iranian drone infiltrated Israeli airspace. It was later found to be laden with explosives, apparently for a terror attack. Israel retaliated by striking the control center for the drone in Syria's anti-aircraft system. Last week, Israel reportedly struck a Syrian airfield also used to control Iranian drones. Iran promised strong retaliation for the strike. Israel has unequivocally stated that it will not permit Iran to entrench itself along its northern border. Yadlin related the escalation to a recent statement by a top Iranian military official. Quote, the deputy commander of the Revolutionary Guards said that his army can erase Israel and destroy our air force. And so the only thing we can all do is escape into the sea, said Yedlin. From a military standpoint, he can't threaten the existence of the state of Israel. He can't even harm the air force. Nonetheless, Yadlin continued, Israel must exercise extreme caution in dealing with Iran. A preemptive strike doesn't absolutely have to involve the danger of a full-scale confrontation, he said. And I hope the people who sit in the cabinet room and the intelligence and security services know how to differentiate between when to go for the head of the Iranian snake in places that we can't tolerate Iranian entrenchment in Syria, and on the other hand, expelling every last Iranian from Syria. That's an unrealistic and incorrect goal. Yadlin also noted that the Palestinian march of return along the Gaza border will intensify as the Palestinians mark Nakba Day next month, on which they lament, get this, my friends, the failure to annihilate the nascent or budding state of Israel in 1948. In addition, President Donald Trump will be making his decision on whether to dump his predecessor's nuclear deal with Iran. This could influence Iran's decision to retaliate against Israel. All these things together enter the month of May, Yadlin said. The Israeli-Iranian issue and the Iranian retaliation, Trump's decision on the agreement with Iran, and also the Palestinians' march of return on May 15th. So, my friends, I hope that you are beginning to get a clearer picture of just what the people and land of Israel at this point have looming over their heads going forward. In our next prophetic piece of the day, written by Yaakov Lapin, dated April 26, 2018, posted by Jewish News Syndicate, titled "Middle East Braces for a Tense May," begins by the writer stating, "The coming month of May looks set to contain an unusual number of potential escalation points that could converge to create a highly explosive month. The Israeli defense establishment is dealing with several pending potential flashpoints, including an Iranian threat to revenge a missile attack on an airbase in Syria that was housing several senior Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps officers, a decision by the Trump administration on whether to cancel or amend the nuclear deal with Iran, weekly Hamas-led mass marches on the Gaza-Israel border on Fridays that continue to escalate, the celebration of Jerusalem Day, the expected move of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and the Palestinian day of mourning over the establishment of Israel's independence, known as Nakba, or catastrophic day, catastrophic or catastrophe day, shall we say, the day of catastrophe. Collectively, these incidents have the potential to escalate various fronts at the same time, such as Gaza, Eastern Jerusalem, and the territories, in addition to Israel's north with a Russian, Iranian, and even Turkish presence encroached in Syria. The month of May does indeed contain within it more than a few challenges that can change the face of the area in a manner that will obligate us to update some of our current policies, Brigadier General Kaitan Newell, former director of the Counterterrorism Bureau at the Prime Minister's office, told JNS. As a result, the defense establishment will need to analyze the potential developments and their scope, and on that basis, prepare options that will remain at Israel's disposal. He added, my friends, in some of the cases, these are small changes that influence the short term, and in others, the potential is more significant, said Newell. He described the moving of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem as an event that, with a short-term influence, that may spark violence, but which would likely be temporary. I'm not sure that I agree with him on that, my friends. I really am not. Or at least, he says, will not fuel other violent incidents. And there again, I have to say, I'm really not quite sure that it will work that way. It will not work that way if the Lord allows it. Upon the upcoming election in Lebanon, he says, actually, this creates new opportunities. And the pending decision by the U.S. President Donald Trump over Iran could change the rules of the game in the region, he added. A clear anti-Israel strategy. Dr. Eli Carman, a senior scholar at the International Institute for Counterterrorism in Herzliya, Israel, said the next weeks will represent one of the most explosive regional situations that involve Israel. The most serious one is the attempt by Iran to take advantage of the victory of the Assad regime in its fight against the rebels, a victory to which Iran and its proxies, Hezbollah and the various Shia militias, have had a major role. the Russian air campaign was the decisive factor that allowed an Iranian-led victory on the ground in Syria. Now, the Iranian axis and Russia depend on one another, meaning that Russia cannot accept an all-out Israeli war on Iranian forces and proxies, cautioned Carmen. The political solution in Syria, he says, that the Russians dream of also depends in great measure on Iranian goodwill. He explained, Tehran, therefore, seems to have decided to continue its strategy of planting itself in Syria, which in itself, he says, is part of a clear anti-Israeli strategy, threatening it from the Syrian and Lebanese borders. Carmen warned that Iran's conflict with Israel is inevitable. As long as Jerusalem remains convinced that it cannot tolerate the formation of such a severe and direct threat on its northern border, and as long as it continues to act accordingly, mainly through its air force. He notes that Israel has believed, or behaved rather, according to the very clear red lines made public by its military and political leaders, and seems determined to continue. Tehran, meanwhile, must also factor in the arrival of a more anti-Iranian White House team. All of these factors are part of the buildup to Trump's fateful decision on May 12th regarding the Iranian nuclear deal, as well as the unpredictable results of his negotiation with the North Korean dictator, which could directly impact Iran, assessed Carmen. An apparent decision by Russia to provide the Assad regime with its advanced S-3 air defense system is contributing, he says, to the instability. He argues the transfer of this military hardware risks a confrontation with Israel. He said, although based on a historical perspective, Israel has always found technical and operational solutions to advanced Russian weapons systems. The Palestinian arena is heating up as well. Meanwhile, Carmen says several factors are conspiring to make the Palestinian arena more explosive, including Hamas's weakness in the face of the Palestinian Authority and its growing regional isolation. This situation could get out of control at some point on the border with Gaza, but not in a manner that could threaten Israel strategically, except in the public diplomacy arena, he said. However, an escalation of the situation in Gaza could trigger an Iranian move designed to extract the Iranians from the Israeli challenge in Syria. The Israeli-Iranian tension remains the most serious trigger for a direct confrontation in the short term, stated Carmen. Professor Uzi Rabi, director of the Moshe Dayan Center of Middle Eastern and African Studies at Tel Aviv University, told JNS that he does expect May to be an intense month with some potential for violence, but adds that the chances of it leading to a major armed conflict remain low. In this region, he said, explosiveness is not new. I certainly see a potential for the eruption of pinpoint clashes and intensive verbal wars, but not a regional war. The reason for this, explained Robbie, is that no side will emerge with gains from a regional clash or a full-scale war between Iran and Israel. Assad could lose his seat of power. The Russians would not be able to realize their achievements in Syria. Iran is unable to allow itself to get caught up in an adventure that will further destabilize the regime at home. And Israel, too, has no interest in such a war. As a result, continued the academic, we will see more of the same, meaning what we have had in recent months will continue into the month of May, perhaps at a higher intensity, but not beyond that. Well, my friends, we can definitely see who knows the word of God concerning the soon coming war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, and who does not. Man always seems to think that he has everything all figured out, but I am sorry to have to say that man is not God. And the plan for Israel, as well as for all mankind, for that matter, is in the hand and knowing of the one and only true and living God. My friends, for it has been his plan and has been well known by him even before the very foundations of this present world were ever laid, and is that which we now see beginning to unfold right before our very eyes at breakneck speed. All of which, mark my words, my friends, is leading to a major time of calamity upon the face of this planet. How do I know? First, the Word of God from cover to cover lays it all out. Second, as many of you know, the Lord God for the last 14 years has each year given me a mandate from him to present first to the church and then the world at large. In 2017, the Lord God gave me a mandate for the year 2018, of which is that it was and now is the year of calamity. That it was to be, my friends, and now is the year of calamity. My friends, that translates to the year of disaster, catastrophe, mishap, misfortune, and tragedy. What is really quite strange to me is that I had not thought about this mandate from the Lord since January of this year. What I mean by that is that the Lord God just seemed to hide it from my thoughts for the past 4 months. But suddenly, late last week, he brought the mandate to my forethought once again. And ever since that day, he has been unfurling things by way of his Holy Spirit into my spirit, of which I am sure some will be shared in the very near future with you, my audience, concerning the black days that lie dead ahead for the people of this planet called Earth. Until then, my friends, the Lord God has allowed me here today to share a prophetic word with you. Now, the Lord God doesn't always allow me to share every so-called prophetic word out there that I run into or that someone shares with me. So what I am getting at, my friends, is that for some reason known to the Lord God, he wants me to share this prophetic word with those that will hear. Within the hearing of my voice, will receive it. This word was sent to me by a brother in the Lord last evening and is a word from the Lord that was given to a man named Byron Cyril yesterday, May 1st, 2018, of which, with further investigation, I found that Mr. Cyril was given the title, The Event, to accompany this prophetic word from the Lord God. My friends, the Lord wants you to hear this for a particular reason that he will reveal to each of you. Now, before we begin this word from the Lord, the Bible proves to us that the Lord God can even use a donkey to convey a message to whom he wants to convey it to. The Lord God has done it. It's recorded in the Bible. With that said, there is a term used in this prophetic word, of which is used in some circles today by well-meaning Christians, and this term is the remnant church. I, Pastor Dana, personally am not comfortable with using this term in reference to the church, as it has historically and biblically always been reserved for a depiction of the Jews who will come through the time of Jacob's or Israel's trouble, which is as well the time known as the Great Tribulation. These Jews will come through that time, my friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, of which we touched upon earlier in this broadcast, and will be they that are moved on into the millennial kingdom time by the hand of God, where the Lord Jesus Christ will reign over his people, the Jews, for the next 1,000 years. And as the bride of Christ, we will rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ during that time period. The well-meaning Christians of today that use this phrase use it to describe the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are they of the body of Christ, or church, if you will, that the Bible says will be ready, watching, waiting, and praying for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the body, or the church, at his appearing in the rapture. My friends, the word remnant means remainder or leftover, and that is a description of the Jews that the Lord God will hide away during the time of Jacob's, or in other words, Israel's trouble that takes place during the time of the Great Tribulation. In the spiritual sense, I guess one could call the bride of Christ a remnant, though that is not the way the Bible refers to the bride of Christ. My issue with this term being used for the church is what I would label as a blurring of the lines. What I mean by that is that there are just far too many so-called churches of this present day and age that preach and teach an unbiblical doctrine known as replacement theology, which is to say that the church has replaced the true remnant of Jews that the Lord God has always had a mind to and will indeed deal with during the time of Jacob's, or in other words, Israel's trouble, during, as I stated before, the time, which is as well called the time of Great Tribulation, or the second 3.5 years of the time of tribulation, which is a 7-year period in its totality. When the Lord God will once again, my friends, turn his face towards his chosen people, the Jews, as stated in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14, where Jeremiah begins by stating, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place, meaning Jerusalem, my friends. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, which they have none of on this earth at this point, my friends, and not of evil, which they have all of here now, my friends, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, or listen to you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you shall seek me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. Now, with that very important mini teaching out of the way, my friends, let us now tune our spiritual eyes and ears to see and hear that which the Lord God has need of us to see and hear as the prophetic timepiece of the Lord God here in the 70th year truly begins to strike at 11:59 and split seconds, just before the imminent return of the Lord and only Savior of all mankind, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, at his appearing in the rapture to whisk away that portion of the church that is known as the Bride of Christ. With that said, and without further ado, Mr. Byron Cyril begins this word given to him from the Lord God by quoting Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, of which state, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." At this point, the Lord God begins his message to the people of this present world by commanding Mr. Cyril to listen to the words of his, God's, that is, mouth, and to write them down. When he states, "My son, hear now and write. Great distress is soon to come upon this nation. Those who thought themselves wise have sown the seeds of this nation's destruction. In the coming days, the king will reverse the treaty with the Persians," which is a reference to Iran, my friends, "and the beginning of Jacob's trouble will begin. Those whose wisdom is of this world will be made fools, for they did not seek me, but sought the king," or an earthly president, my friends. "My son," says the Lord, "now is the time for my remnant to be ready to move when I speak to your heart. Many people will seek you, my remnant, for you hear me. My remnant will be calm, for I have given thee peace in a time of destruction. And my children who laughed at and mocked you will cry out to you for answers. Pray for the president's safety while in hostile conditions, my son. The darkness of the coming days will take all peoples and nations by total surprise. No one expects what will happen, but I will tell my remnant prior to the event. This event will lead to the kickoff event that I have told many will happen. I am the Lord, and I exercise my judgment in the earth. I delight in seeing the lost come to me, and in the coming days, many will. My judgments will bring glorious revivals where the fire of my Holy Spirit will flow like a waterfall over those who repent. Much hardship lies ahead, but those who place their faith in me will flourish in a dry, desolate land. I am coming soon for a strong, revived body, walking in great power by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The King will make several mistakes in the days ahead that will open the doors of destruction on this nation. War is coming home. Choose the right side, my people. Seek me and repent. Repent, you stiff-necked people. I love you, my remnant. And I love you, my lost people. Messiah, Jesus. My friends, I would take this whole prophetic word as a double-edged sword, because the two nations of this world that God has placed his name upon to send out the word from, both in the Old Testament, which was Jerusalem, Israel, and in the New Testament, the United States of America. So this prophecy is for the bride just before the time of the rapture, but definitely speaks mostly to the time which is yet to come for the Jewish people in Israel, who are the remnant, my friends. But there's one thing for sure, and that is, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come for you. So while you have breath today, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to make his abode and home in your heart. Ask the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit be poured out upon you, as the Lord said, as a waterfall, that you will be ready, watching, and waiting for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until then, be able to operate in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit, for the times are evil. And my friends, we need to be ready, watching, and waiting. So today, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to make his home in your heart. Ask the Lord God to pour out the indwelling power of his Holy Spirit upon you with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And be ready, my friends, because our time is ultimately very short. And with that said, it's a wrap. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Shalom and blessings to you all until we meet again.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world. Take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all, now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?